From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Cleveland's own The Miz. Mm-hmm. Mike Mizanin joined the Dan Patrick Show last week and gave a bold prediction for the Cleveland Browns.
Are you a Browns fan?
Huge Browns fan. We're going to the Super Bowl.
To watch.
No, we're going to the Super Bowl.
No, you're not.
Joe Flacco is taking us there. If he gets injured, we'll take one of our other three.
Yeah.
We got a big we got a big quarterback room.
You're not bringing Deshaun Watson, though.
No. We got Stefanski's an amazing coach. We know that. He's a two-time coach of the year. There's a reason for that. He knows how to get the best out of quarterbacks. And so now he has two rookies, and I don't even think Kenny Pickett could be something.
All right. Now, do we think Miz really means any of this, or was he playing the heel by propping up a potentially crap team?
I don't know. He's just so pro Cleveland. I like the Miz a lot. I remember when the celebrity all-star game was in town, when the whole all-star festivities, Lisa and I went to the celebrity all-star game, and the Miz was awesome. All those reality guys are so good about that stuff. I don't know why other famous people just aren't good at that, but all the like reality TV people, I think it's because the reality TV people always just wanted to be famous and they care about being famous so much, so they love all the adoration, but he was awesome. So I'll always go to bat for him, even if that's a obviously ridiculous take.
So it's funny. I felt the same way when he was here in studio with us. Because Miz, when he was younger, had kind of a reputation in wrestling. That is the nicest, hardest working dude. And he was totally trolling Dan Patrick, though. I don't think it's a heel turn. The heel turn was a couple years ago when he claimed to be a Rams fan going into the Super Bowl. Have not forgot that, Miz. But no, we're pro Miz here.
He claimed to be a Rams fan?
Didn't he? He wore like the Rams jersey. And it was part of a heel program at the time because he did it in Cleveland. And it was a whole to-do.
That's not good. He's like our guy as far as like people that prop up the city all the time. Like
really does.
That's like a real. That's a bad thing.
It was a bit. I can give him credit for a bit.
Not a very good one, I guess. I
haven't forgotten it.
Greg McElroy speaking today said people very much in the know, according to one of his sources. His sources would be very much in the know about this situation. Says Nick Saban isn't done coaching.
Hmm.
I don't think this is reality. You know, Saban's really good on TV, by the way. Way better than I think a lot of people gave him credit for.
Way better than Urban.
Oh, my God, a million times better than Urban. And I like Urban on TV, too, though. Urban's got his moments where he's really good. But Nick Saban is, I think a lot of people slept on him. I think they thought that it was going to be like how Belichick would be on TV. And it's just not. He's very good on TV. But I don't see him coaching again.
I just don't see him coaching in college. I could see the NFL. I think that at his age, I mean, he's 73, 74 now. College is just... But, I mean, look, Pete Carroll just got the jump at 72, 73. I could see a team going out there and saying, for 3 years, 4 years, will you come be our head coach and give him one more try? Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out which team that would be. If Alabama's out of the equation, although I think Alabama would shoot to bore into the sun if it gave him an opportunity to hire back Saban.
I think, yeah, definitely after last year, too, missing the playoffs and whatnot.
Wouldn't that be a something if he just like, I want to come back, and Alabama's like, okay.
Why not the Cleveland Browns in 6 months' time?
Okay.
I mean, granted, Nick Saban's going to want more power than anyone in that organization's willing to give.
I mean, it's part of the reason why you got so frustrated with the sport at the collegiate level is dealing with the NIL. Maybe the NFL would make more sense for him. I just don't know that
what
many people
Miami?
Are.
This guy's under contract. They can't move off of him, I think, Tua, for another year or two.
Yeah.
Last-ditch effort to save Tua's career, bring in his old ball coach and... Get an adult in the room as opposed to Captain Cool Kid Mike McDaniel.
And we know the owner with Ross is very much about the celebrity side of things and his pursuit of Tom Brady. And he likes that. He likes big names.
Omaha! And it cannot lie. Uno is being added to as a table game to casinos in Las Vegas, at least temporarily. The Uno Social Club. Sounds interesting. Is a temporary setup at the Palms Casino Resort from July 18th, that's I believe a couple days from now, to July 20th, a special promo event aimed at enhancing game night experiences. How does Johnny Vegas feel about this?
I like it. I like the idea that you should be able to play more board games, if we're being honest about it. Like, what board game, if you could gamble on board games, what board game would you do the best in?
Probably Candyland. And I think you can really corner the market on Candyland, yeah. Life? Oh, I used to live life, man. I'm telling you.
I don't know if you're giving me serious answers or just in like mocking the question. I'm not sure.
It's a great question.
I don't know. Monopoly for me. I don't know. I always thought I'd love to be able to gamble on Monopoly.
I wouldn't.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
That game is a fickle mistress. That game
so
is just.
So is Uno, though.
Yeah, but.
Could you imagine the amount of backstabbing you can do? And talk about collusion. There's a lot of colluding in Uno.
You don't want to be at the table for 4 hours playing the same game of Monopoly. Now, they really would have to decide, is this Uno or Uno from Hell? Because Uno from Hell, where if like where you can stack, draw twos and draw fours,
yeah.
where you just keep picking until you get the card you need. That you need to do a much more sane version. But the thing I like about Uno is it's tougher to rig if you're like a gaming body as opposed to a game like cards where there's just. It's a lot more simple math involved.
So obviously, this is in person, so it's a little bit different. Can I ask you a judgment call on something, though?
Sure.
So my little nephew is 8 years old, and him, my sister, my mom, and myself started playing Uno at nights together, like through the phone,
yeah.
You know? And it's like the only way I really get to interact with this kid. He's 8 years old. We play for like 20 minutes at a time. And so we were playing for a stretch. It was like maybe like 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Every single night we were playing. Like everyone got into it. Like he was playing. He's more than capable. He's 8 years old. And then we started catching on to the idea that he was cheating with my sister.
Ah.
And it was very, like once you noticed it, it became very obvious that they mm-hmm. were cheating together and
it
they were texting,
is.
They were texting each other, but then they were also trying to line up in the way the game works where you could sit next to each other in the game and then be able to help each other out.
Yeah.
And so I called him out on it and mm-hmm. I was like, you're cheating. Like you're clearly cheating. And I would do it in ways I'd be like, that's sus. You know, like little, like, you know, yeah. That's a little sus, isn't that?
Yeah.
And then he caught on and then now he doesn't want to play anymore.
Oh.
Now he's like, he's done playing. I would have gladly
like
just
Pete
played.
Rose.
I would have gladly played and lost the game just to be able to play and hang out with him. But now he's like, I think he felt guilty that I called him out.
Oh, I think
should
he's
I
mad
just,
at you.
Should I just not called him out? No,
no.
He's not mad. But
no.
I think he knew he got caught cheating with his aunt.
No, I think. And by the way, it's funny. It's funny. Like you're cheating at Uno and you're doing. Who's really sus in this is your sister. That's some dirty pool right there.
Well, like, she wants to be the favorite. She wants to be the favorite.
Corrupting,
you know?
A child to win at Internet Uno. That is some. By the way, my uncle would have done this too.
She was throwing games to make sure that he won. Like she was all in on it.
Yep.
Because how do you get to be the cool aunt? You get to be the cool aunt by throwing Uno games.
And by the way, is me and my mom
are just scratching out and clawing out trying to get wins.
Isn't she in the legal profession?
Yes, she is. She's an attorney.
Not a great look for attorneys. I mean, I think we got to really. We got to contact the board here. This is a real problem.
Yeah, of all the things that attorneys have done, this crosses the line. Yeah.
With your 8-year-old nephew,
the ethics are out of control with this one.
Omaha.
Mark Cuban says he hated NBA players participating in the Olympics. Added on that Adam Silver wouldn't go for it, and that's why he sold his team. But is Mark Cuban right here? Should NBA owners be able to have a gripe with the idea that their players should not be participating in the Olympics?
Yes. Okay, 30 years ago, you needed the Olympics because you were still an emerging sport. And I don't think people realize how long ago or how short ago that really was. You don't need it anymore. And so your best players who are paid $80 million a year are going to be very shortly being out there for free. Yeah, it's a great look for international basketball. All you get is the injury risk. And all it takes is one Danny Granger. It takes one Paul George for it just to not work. So, yeah, I think he's spot on, even though I think he's fraudulent when he says, this is why I sold the team. No, you sold it because of the billions.
Yeah, I really don't mind him getting mad about it. And it seems like the wet blanket take to have, but also, like, I don't know. I didn't pay you to achieve a personal dream of winning the Olympics. I pay you to win an NBA Finals. I pay you to be on the court for me.
And I just think, like, honestly, now that so many teams are so good in terms of their development, so many countries are so good at their development, I kind of think it'd be more interesting if it was your college guys against people in the college ranks. As Euro players continue to infiltrate college, all of a sudden, what does that look like for a France? What does that look like for a Spain?
Yeah,
what does that look like for?
We won't care the same way.
No. But it's also the Olympics. We don't care the same way in general.
Yeah, that's fair.
Except for break dancing. We're in.
Omaha!
Terry Francona joins Bruce Bochy as one of only two active managers with 2,000 wins over the weekend. Only 13 managers in MLB history have accomplished that very feat. Does it feel wrong that Tito got his 2,000th career win in Cincinnati?
Talk about famous people calling people out. Was it Nick Lachey calling out Francona over the weekend?
Look at that.
He was like, I thought when they hired him, it was a good hire. He's not winning anything with this team.
That sounds like a Nick Lachey thought. Very superficial.
It is weird. It's weird that he wins the 2000th in a Reds uniform, but everything about him being with the Reds is weird right now.
So you know me, like him being there. Okay. I just wish he would have taken a better job because we all knew Cincinnati's not a great job. But I digress. I was pretty surprised how much this bugged me. I just think, like, he's got the two World Series wins in Boston. Then he spent the longest time in Cleveland. I would have loved for him to have one more year here, get the 2,000th win. And I know, like, that's not why you stay at a job. I do. I just, him in Cincinnati winning, we would have gone ape you know what for this. We would have done this big in a big way. In Cincinnati, it just kind of fizzled. It doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, I saw a Nick Lachey's tweet. I didn't even see like a congratulations. Oh, I did see. I saw a Lindor congratulations message where they had all sorts of different people from Tito's past saying great job on your 2000th. And Lindor led that off. And I thought that was a nice touch.
216-474-0092. It was not on my radar. Then it happened. And after the fact, I was seemingly troubled by it. Does it feel wrong that Tito got his 2,000th career win in Cincinnati? And big news from the Cavs that tells us a lot about where they're going in the future. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.